solved. I figured it out. There's actually, okay. The reason the Kings are so Jekyll and Hyde, there's actually two different versions of the Kings. There's the one version that we saw too much of Sunday that they're kind of confused and a little slow and a little soft. And then there's the other Kings that we saw last night. Scrappy, sharp shooting. They don't take any bleep. And I want to thank that team for showing up last night and showing Kings fans what the Kings can be when they're at their best. That was impressive, Kyle Draper.
Very impressive. And they played with a chip on their shoulder right from the jump. My guy Malik Monk, I don't know who pissed him off or what, but he was on one right from the jump.
King of the
My
Kings.
My guy Keon Ellis also. Yeah, King of Kings, right?
King of the Kings.
King of the Kings. It was tremendous. This was the kind of game. Not only the players, not only the coaches, not only me and you, but this entire fan base needed that last night.
You've watched basketball a long time. Can your sixth man be your leader? Because that's what I'm seeing with this team right now.
Yes. Yes. Why? And we had, I forget who we had on, and they said, your leader doesn't have to always be your best player. You know, and I think when you look at what Malik Monk does, it's sort of similar to Marcus Smart in Boston. Marcus Smart was not the best player, but he was the heart and soul of the team. That's what I'm getting right now with Malik Monk. Malik Monk is sort of the heart and soul of the team. And he's that guy that, you know, is going to lay it all on the line. Him and Domas, you're never going to question their effort or their intensity. And it was tremendous to watch against a Milwaukee team that had been playing some great basketball, that has two future Hall of Famers. The Kings just rolled over them big time last night.
No match last night. Wasn't even a fair fight. So what's your reward for that? Hey, you got the Lakers coming in tonight. So let's go.
Let's go.
Kings have dominated them all season.
I tell you what, though. We've owned the Lakers, a chance to sweep the Lakers. I tried to get tickets from Christina Vasquez with the Sacramento Kings. My guy Dale wanted to come to tonight's game. He wanted premium seating, like low, like courtside. All sold out.
Sure.
This building is going to be amped tonight. The hated Lakers are in town. LeBron's a stone's throw from where we're at right now, Whitey.
Come on,
he's
over, LeBron.
Right there. I know he's listening right now. He's peeking out his windows, nervous about tonight's game.
Hi, Bronny.
That's what kind of game it's going to be tonight for the Sacramento Kings.
It's funny you say that because, you know, I got in pretty early driving downtown, and there's signage that was up today that I don't normally see, you know, like event tonight. Well, they don't normally have that sign up, like expect delays. So it's pretty evident that right now everybody around here is preparing for, we have great crowds every night, but tonight's going to be something different.
Yeah, it's going to be something different. And this is a game where, in my opinion, you can bury the Lakers, meaning you beat them right now. You don't have to look behind you at them, I think, for standings. And I know there's still 18 games left to go. I know that.
If the Kings win tonight, are we going to have a funeral for the Lakers tomorrow?
Yes. I will come in all black tomorrow.
We're not going down that same road again.
All right, let's wait till after the season. How about that? Let's wait till the mission is accomplished. You know, after maybe we see them in the play-in or playoffs and we extinguish them then. But, no, this is a massive game, man. Like I said, it's a chance to you already have the tiebreaker, obviously, but it's a chance to really put some distance between yourself and the Lakers in the standings.
Yeah, and the Kings, of course, 5-3 in nationally televised games so far. I'm not counting the NBA TV games. They definitely are aware when the stage is biggest, when the lights are brightest, and I think they're going to – I know it's going to be tough after last night, you know, second night of a back-to-back. But, you know, De'Aaron Fox especially is one of those guys, he's keenly aware of that and tends to play his best when he knows everyone's watching.
Yeah, and tends to play his best against the Lakers as well. I mean,
because they can't guard him.
They can't. Their perimeter defense is one of the worst in the league. Foxy is averaging better than 36 points per game against the Lakers this season. Listen to this. That's the most ever by a King in a single season against the Lakers. If he continues that trend. Oscar Robertson averaged 35.7 against the Lakers in 65-66. No other King has averaged what De'Aaron Fox is averaging right now. So he owns the Lakers, and they can't stop him. Who are you going to put on him? D'Angelo Russell? Austin Reeves?
Nah.
I mean, exactly. And they don't have Jared Vanderbilt. He's not healthy. And so this team, perimeter defense, it's there for the picking tonight.
D'Angelo Russell is a guy I've enjoyed watching. I know when he was with the Nets, he had a huge night in Sacramento. I don't respect his game that much because he's so up and down and he's so porous defensively. When he was with the Warriors, that, you know, it was like just a bad fit.
Yeah.
However, he's having a really nice year, and he's shooting the three ball really well. But the last time they played last week, he was almost invisible. It's like he didn't want to be there because Keon Ellis, Davion, De'Aaron Fox, Kings shut him down last week.
Yes, they did. And he's having a fantastic second half of the season.
Like, he is.
You know, since the trade rumors have died down, he's been a bit, he's almost their X factor. Because, you know, LeBron and AD, they're going to do, you know, D'Angelo Russell, if he's clicking, takes them to another level. He didn't want that smoke last week, you know.
It's too much for him.
It's too much. And, you know, it'll be interesting tonight because I've seen him have good games against the Kings before, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's had some big games against us in the past. But, no, you're right. This is a newfound Kings defense, perimeter defensive team that wreaked havoc on Dame Lillard last night. We'll see what they got tonight for D'Angelo.
By the way, I want to thank Dame Lillard because after the game, in his comments, he talked about how the Kings were better than us tonight. They play harder, things like that. He gave the Kings some credit, which Doc Rivers really didn't. Doc Rivers,
what'd
like,
Doc say? What my guy Doc?
He's, today at shoot around, they're talking about getting on the plane, and we knew that if we brought that same attitude, we were in for a long night. That was on us. So it was like, unless I missed part of it, it wasn't like, hey, you know, Mike Brown always says, you got to give the other team credit. Doc was like, no, we didn't have our heads in the right place. It was on us.
Doc.
Like, those guys are beneath us. We beat ourselves.
Right. You know, Doc's trying to make sure his guys are mentally still there and, you know, don't want to pile on them. You know, it's just one of 82 to them, you know. And so the Kings were up, and they got them last night.
Yeah, they sure did. Man.
Let me say something, though. Let me go this route. Because yesterday, I said I was going to be all positive.
For a good 8 minutes.
8 minutes. And then I turned. But today is a good day.
Yeah.
Today is a great day. You know, today I drove in, had my golf lesson with my guy Tom Morton over there at Hagen Oaks. Struggled for about 48 minutes. That last 5 to 7 minutes, it finally
came
for me. It was pure. And it was when Tom walked away, I started striping it. I was like, bang, bang, bang. And I texted him. I'm like, Tom, soon as you left, I did well. He's like, yes, you got it, Kyle. Stick with it. So I'm feeling good. Drive in, no traffic. Got right into my parking spot. Guess what happens when I walk in the building? Like,
popcorn.
Bam, bam, bam. I got my popcorn today. Things are feeling good. As a matter of fact, I approached the popcorn guy downstairs. I said, bro, you going to give me some popcorn? He's like, Drapes, I got to get my numbers, man. I got to make sure I have my count. Who walks around? The boss, Deirdre, comes around at the same exact time. She's like, give Drapes his popcorn. He's like, I got to keep my numbers. She's like, if you don't give him his popcorn. So you know what she did? She walked right around the table and said, give me that. Took the popcorn and handed it to me. So today is a good day, my boy. Today
that is a great day
to start.
Yeah.
As the legendary poet Ice Cube would say, it was a good day.
The way some of your stories have been going, I was afraid that you had texted Tom Morton and he didn't text you back. Afraid was going to happen.
Tom usually only texts during when we're down 20 or when we're losing. That's the only time. But today, he texted me, hey, we're still on for noon. Had a good lesson. Got my popcorn. Nice weather outside. Going to be in the 70s later this
week. Yeah.
All is well in Drapes land right now.
And I will say this again. I know we've talked about this a lot. There have been many years in Sacramento where the weather starts to turn like this, and you're looking forward to the freaking draft in the lottery.
Right.
That's all you have to look forward to. And this year, who knows where this is going, but this is a lot of fun. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but here we are looking forward to a meaningful game against the hated Lakers. It is a meaningful game for them, too.
I
don't
want
to hear about, it matters to the Kings, but it doesn't matter to the Lakers.
No,
this is a big game for them.
You could argue this is a bigger game for the Lakers than the Kings because right now they're a game ahead of the Warriors, talking about the Lakers. They're two back of the Kings. The Kings win this, the Lakers will be three games back with about 18, 17 to go. And so, sure, you know, anything can happen, but with the Kings owning the tiebreaker, in essence, they're four games ahead of the Lakers. That's almost insurmountable in that short of time. And so then you win tonight, and I don't know if Phoenix – does Phoenix play tonight? You win tonight. You're only a half game behind Phoenix. There's a chance at the end of the night you could be back in the top six.
Yeah.
And so this is a massive game for both teams. And I like the vibes that I'm seeing from the team last night. I'm seeing from the community. Everybody seems to be getting along. No anger, no angst. It's a good day to be a Sacramento.
Phoenix does not play.
Suns do not play tonight. Yes, that Phoenix does not play. The Pelicans play, and, you know, Dallas plays Golden State, which is a big game with Western Conference.
Who are we cheering for in that one?
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You can't cheer for the Warriors. You should cheer for the Warriors, but you can't, can you? I mean, you're not.
I'm going to just sit this one out. I'm going to just let the chips fall where they may, if you will.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll pull for the Warriors tonight. I'll pull for the Warriors only if the Kings win.
Gotcha.
Because if the Kings lose and the Warriors win, then bam. It's a two-game lead over the Warriors, and they're sniffing you just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So the Kings win tonight. Drapes and I are having the funeral for the Lakers tomorrow. Is that confirmed?
Nah, Jay's going to be the
Jay's going to be the minister at the funeral. Is that right, Jay?
He's going to be a pallbearer out there.
Give them their last rites.
Why you always lying?
Absolutely not. We're not doing the same. We're not making the same mistake the Rise guys did years ago on the Drive guys. It's not happening.
You say that was the death of the Rise guys back in the day.
It was close
right there. Thank you. No, we're not. I'm not hopping on that bandwagon with you.
All right,
you're by yourself.
Well, just keep it in the back pocket.
All right,
keep it on the back burner
for the playoffs
someday. Yeah.
You know how TNT does Gone Fishing?
Yes, sir.
That's what we could do. At the end, when Warriors get eliminated, Lakers get eliminated, we can have their funeral.
Absolutely. Right. Looking forward to it. And looking forward to Drape's takes next from the Golden One Center with the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports.
Yes.
Way to go, Drapes. Oh, it's a perfect day. Everything's great. We apologize for some technical issues. Thanks to RJ and Jay for getting us back on. And thank you for sticking with us. We're back here at the Golden One Center. Kyle Draper, Kevin Whitey Gleason getting ready for the Lakers and Kings. Maybe somebody across the street didn't like what you were saying about the Kings, I guess.
You know, LeBron is powerful.
Yeah, I know.
You know, he runs the league.
I do.
You know, we called him out, and he pulled the plug on us. But as my guy Ryan Williams Art says, Drape's takes are so hot, they literally dropped the mic. Takes were so hot, Whitey.
Burned out some
the
wiring.
FCC was like, oh, my gosh, it's too hot.
pull
the plug on this guy. And so now we'll have a revised Drape's takes coming up at the top of the hour. Don't worry. I got some more heat to bring you at the top
mic
of the
check.
Hour.
Yeah. You and Katie brought some heat last night on that dunk by the Milwaukee Bucks. Andre Jackson Jr.
Like,
you guys were on the front page, ESPN.com.
Were we?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, it was one of those, like, if it would have happened in a close game or us being down 30, I don't think I would have reacted like that. But it was like the one Bucks highlight pretty much all night long, you know, outside of Giannis getting, 30 or whatever. Like, he was shot out of a cannon. Like, that was one of the best dunks of the year. And it was, who was it? Trey Lyles, I think, was underneath him.
I think
somebody.
So.
Yeah, somebody. And I was like, man.
Well, Trey might have been.
No, he might have been gone by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Kessler? I can't remember who it was that was in the game. And I was like, my gosh. He just, like, climbed up on him, basically, and rode him like Seabiscuit the way he got up. That was a dunk. That was amazing, man.
That's what I can't figure out is if he got up all that high by himself where his head was above the rim, or if he got up and then he landed on somebody's back. I do think for a minute it looked like he jumped up and his head was above the rim.
Right.
That's what was – I've never seen that before.
And that's what I said. I was like, it's not even his head. Like, part of his chest was at the rim.
Yeah.
Like, man. And so that was the lone Bucks highlight last night. And it was such a hellacious dunk. Like, the entire arena minus Keegan Murray was like
– Oh, yeah.
My God. Yeah. When I do these games sometimes, Whitey, and it was like this during the NBA playoffs, when the crowd gets so loud or something happens, your headphones, it sounds like white noise, you know? It's just like all of a sudden, that's what happened with that dunk. It was like white noise in my headphones. It was one of those ones that every 17,000 plus reacted to.
Yeah, and you mentioned, it's funny because we were talking about Thanasis yesterday, and he played.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Giannis, and he had 30, a very quiet 30, right?
Yeah.
He's got 28 points.
Yeah, and he was the only one doing anything. I mean, think about it, though. He was 10 of 17. I thought he tried to impose his will, but it just didn't matter. You know, it just, as great as Giannis is, as great as, Giannis was, it was the most, the least impactful 30 points of the season because it didn't matter.
Nice stuff to join us here as we get ready for a big, big game tonight. Fox 40 Kings Insider, the one and only Sean Cunningham. And Sean, my boy, thanks for being with us. You know, you were here Sunday for the Rockets game. Then we saw what happened last night. How do you explain the Jekyll and Hyde nature of these Kings?
It's funny because I keep talking about how they sometimes look for better parts of the season like they're a 500 basketball team. But they're 10 games over 500, but they just have those types of characteristics, rise to the level of opposition. Sometimes you trick off some games. Sometimes it takes, you believe in your record a little bit and you feel like you can just flip a switch and turn it on and close out a game you're supposed to. But honestly, I just think it has to do with expectations. I think it just really, this is a team that a lot of these games last year, there were opponents that would be taken, they would take them lightly. And I think the lower tier of the NBA comes in here and knows there's a recipe to beat the Kings. And all you got to do is punch first, punch them in the mouth, disrupt Domas, and then hope they miss three pointers. And I think if you play a little bit physical, they tend to wilt a little bit. So I think lower echelon teams really kind of identify that and take advantage of it. And then if you're the Kings and you're going up against those higher tier teams, well, then you get a result like last night where you absolutely bring it. And it's weird because, you know, the Bucks had beat the Kings 15 straight games, dating back to the old arena. And that's a team in my mind that's just like the poster child for length and physicality and athleticism and everything that gives the Kings fits historically and especially over these last 2 years. And to see what they did in Milwaukee in that 1-point overtime loss, I had no idea how they were in that game. And then to see the way they came out with purpose last night just goes to show you that this team is capable of being that team that they want to be.
Sean Cunningham joining us here on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. Sean, when you look at what transpired last night, I want to focus on the defense. What stood out to you about the way the Kings played defense last night?
I mean, they went to a lot of zone, which I know Mike Brown talks about hating zones. He says he's gone to it at times. I kind of like the fact that they embraced the three-guard lineup so much. I mean, obviously, Keon Ellis has made a remarkable impact on just his energy. I mean, it's not even just defensively, but he's kind of that connector, kind of that guy that's been able to that guys really kind of feed off of. And I think that the fact that you've got him and Davion playing really, really well together comes in as like a 1-2 punch for this defense and what they're trying to be disruptive. And I think especially, you know, you're already without Keegan, that's some size, and he's kind of become your best defender on this team. And then you lose Trey Lyles in that game. And oftentimes I think Mike Brown, if there was one criticism I would have of him throughout the course of the season, is sometimes I feel like he waits for the other team to do something first. And then he's very reactionary. Mm-hmm. And I think he's gotten to a place in the season so far now to where he's now being maybe the disruptor, the guy that might put a wrinkle in first and see how the other team reacts. And clearly when you start losing some of that length and you already know you're beat with length, you kind of go smaller, and it had a pretty good result last night. And I also thought, you know, I know this Bucks team is a really, really good team, but I think he caught him at a good time. They had just got blitzed by the Warriors, and then here you come in here, and I don't think they were expecting to have to work the way they were, and I think they were going to hope to get a little bit more out of Lillard, especially with him being back in California. And Lillard looked really discombobulated to me. So I think that's still a team that's kind of finding themselves, which is weird because they're such a great team record wise. But I think the Kings needed that game. They showed they needed that game. And defensively, I think they took a huge step in that column.
Sean Cunningham, you, of course, have a unique perspective on the Kings because you've covered them for better or worse for many, many, many years. You've been a fan since before that. So, you know, we've seen as Kings fans a litany of guys kind of on the fringes come and go, and guys that, you know, maybe this guy's a player and you know, nope, he's not. My point is Keon Ellis is a guy that was on the fringe and looks like, wow, this guy has an NBA future. What has impressed you the most about seeing his career arc and seeing him do what he needed to do to get to the point where he is now?
Well, the one thing that leaps off is the guy who's just always ready. I asked him earlier in the season, like, I know it seems simple enough for an athlete to just accept a role, but when you go from being, I'm a G League player, I'm a two-way player, sometimes I play, maybe I don't, and now I'm starting and now I'm out again, and having to make the most of the opportunity when it presents itself is paramount. And, you know, you go back to really what gave him the opportunity. Those two losses in Houston, garbage time, coming out and being able to make maximize those garbage minutes and have them blossom into something. And it's kind of a pinch me moment for him, I think, where if he looks back at it and it's like, man, this is kind of where it all started. But a guy who goes undrafted, defies the odds, you know, I'm not sitting here saying this guy is a surefire NBA player on every team in the league, but circumstance, luck, there's so many things that factor into it. I was having some conversation with some scouts last night, and it's like, you know, one of them had ties to the Kings, and you know that he'd mentioned seeing Jimmer Fredette, or we were talking about Stanley Johnson, who's now with the G League in Stockton. Guys that just are kind of sometimes products of their environment. They don't sometimes go to the right places and get that opportunity and maximize it and then stay healthy on top of all of that thing that has been. I think it's just been such a great story, and it's the guy's 5-0 as a starter. I mean, that's just so impressive. And to be able to just be a plug and play guy and talk to him about that role and having a comfort level and having peace of knowing that, like, this is my role. This is what I mean for my team. I just have to, it's not like he switches who he is in any shape or form, depending upon the minutes he gets. So he's been Mr. Consistency. I know he's had a few stumbles in early part of the season, but by and large, he's just been really impressive. And it's just such a feel-good story. Good for him. And to hopefully he can see something for the Kings and kind of building that path. I think they're onto something special with him and Davion together. I really do.
Sean Cunningham joining us, hardest working man in television right there. This guy's at every event, every college event, high school. I mean, you always see this guy out there. Sean, when you look at, you know, last night's win and the way Malik Monk played, and I know he's a free agent after this season and some decisions are going to have to be made, but, you know, this up and down roller coaster, the one thing that seems to be refreshing to me when I listen to Malik is he understands. It's been up and down. He understands that, you know what, they needed to take care of a win last night at home for this fan base. What do you make of Malik and just his status, his stature here with the fan base in Sacramento? Because I think, you know, he's one of the fan favorites for this team.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I mean, I think I've told you guys before, I mean, this goes back to last year, you know, right around December, I was like, hey, this team's pretty good. Like, I'm ready to kind of say this is a good team. I think it has, you know what you're getting from Fox and Sabonis every single night. And I kind of sound like a broken record, but I'm the guy that says Malik to me is the most important player on this team. He gives them an identity. He gives them that kind of that vibe, if you will. And as long as he's not turning the ball over, I mean, they feed off of that energy. And anytime he's a factor offensively, he's obviously out, especially when whether they're home or on the road, this team just feeds off it. And it's great when they're at home because the crowd feeds off it. Yeah. He's getting ovations that are like Bobby Jackson back in the day. A guy was such a fan favorite coming off the bench. He's somebody much like Keon Ellis who embraces his role. I get asked all the time from fans and even other media members, like, well, you know, why don't they put him in the starting lineup? I said, man, if there's one guy on this team that you do not want to mess with in terms of his role and what he means to this team, it's Malik Monk. He's completely happy with coming off the bench. He knows the role that he serves. And man, I got to tell you guys, if I'm Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox and Vivek Rohanadeev, even Mike Brown, and I'm getting it to the end of the year, and how do you not re-sign this guy? Give him whatever the hell he wants. I mean, he is so much part of this team's identity, and he would be a very, very difficult piece to have to replace if you know, and seeing him go into free agency. That being said, make no mistake, guys, he's going for that bag. He's going to go for the absolute max money that he can get. And if anyone's familiar with his journey, even prior to coming to the Lakers before he came to the Sacramento Kings, it's a feel good story. It's one of redemption in a way, and he's found a place in his league and he's absolutely thriving.
Sean, I don't see in your studio there a crystal basketball, but I'm going to ask you to peer into one anyway. You have a unique sense, as I say, on this franchise. You've seen these teams, you've seen these seasons, the ebbs and the flows. Do you think this Kings team right now has another run left in them before the regular season ends?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's weird because I'm very much not the guy typically that's all rosy and optimistic, but maybe it's because there's so many people on this roller coaster that we call it game in, game out. And it's not just fans and media guys. I mean, those players kind of wear this up and down ebbs and flows, as you mentioned, with this season. And from the bird's eye view, like, I think they're honestly pretty fine. I mean, you kind of, they know what they are, they know what they're not. And I do see a pathway that not only can they, you know, maybe have a 5-6 game win streak before in these final 18 and kind of get a little bit of momentum going, especially because of all the home games, which I know home cooking hasn't been the greatest for the Kings, but I do feel like there's enough moments for them still left to kind of build some momentum. And I'm not a big momentum guy, but in March, momentum seems to be kind of a thing and all across basketball in both college and pros. And I do feel that the Kings are in a pretty decent spot here. I do think they will avoid the play-in tournament, although I don't think they're afraid of it. But I do think they will avoid the play-in tournament. Mm. And I also think that, you know, based on some matchups out here, guys, with the way the West is, I like what their record is against the Western Conference for the most part. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you're going from playing the Bucks one night to the Lakers the next, and then 2 days later you're playing the Knicks, it's different than having to play playoff basketball. I do think the Kings, based on the way they play and based on some of the guys that they have on their team and the depth that they have, I think that they will be a very tough out in the playoffs, depending upon who that they play. And I could see this team make a little bit of a run in the playoffs. I'm not saying that they're going to be a perennial, you know, conference final or an NBA final appearance, but I can envision a first, second round, and even at maybe the ceiling, maybe it is a conference final appearance, just depending upon who they match up with and play. And honestly, guys, look around the league, injuries are starting to become a major factor right now. So I don't think people should be, I think they should take the bird's eye view of this team rather than the day-to-day and kind of embrace what they are, which is 10 games over 500 in a very crowded Western Conference.
Sean Cunningham, thanks. We'll see you in a couple hours. We appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Sean. See you, man.
Yeah. Now, as far as injuries, he mentioned injuries. The Kings have a few injuries they're dealing with tonight. Hopefully not the major.
Yeah, Trey Lyles is out. Left knee, they're calling it, I think it is. Let me pull it up again. I just want to get it accurate. Yeah, Trey Lyles, left knee sprain.
Only 8 minutes last night before he got hurt.
Yeah, before he got hurt. Keegan Murray right now, questionable left ankle sprain. And this is one I didn't see last night. Kevin Huerter, a right leg contusion is questionable tonight. And so you're talking, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", you know, I don't know who you replace him with.
Yeah.
You know?
We know Trey Lyles can't play. If Keegan can play, if Keegan can't play, then Kevin Huerter's probably going to play, right? I mean, he has to.
No, he doesn't. What do you mean he has to?
Well, somebody has to.
If guys are hurt, they're hurt, right?
Yeah, I know, but depending on the extent of it.
That might be a Jalen Slauson kind of game.
Wow.
You know,
maybe.
I
just think Red Velvet would play unless his leg falls off. If Keegan's not there, I'll bet you he'll play.
He'll give it
and
a go.
I'm not suggesting he's not hurt or anything. I'm just saying I bet you he would play.
I will say this. Fortunately for us, we do this show at this time slot and at this location. We'll be able to see who comes out. Because Keegan, if I'm correct, we didn't see him during his normal warm-up time yesterday. Now, if he comes out, we'll be able to give our listeners that information.
Mm-hmm. Coming up here, thanks for nothing, Doc. Doc Rivers not giving the Kings any credit last night. More on that when we come back to the Gold One Center Drive Guy. Thanks to Sean Cunningham for being with us. We just had an interesting discussion about tonight, last night. Malik Monk, by the way, Drapes, and I don't mean to wander back down into the pit of bitterness here. This is just something that amused me today. I think we can be above it. You know, the Ringer has their list of the 100 best players throughout the year, and they update it.
Yep.
During the summer, you know, we spend more time on it because there's not
I've
as much
that.
Going on.
Yep.
And they just yesterday updated their top 100 players in the NBA. Malik Monk is not on it. And I just thought, well, that's amusing.
What?
Yeah. He's not on the Ringer's list of the 100 top players in the NBA. And again, like I say, I don't mean to start ranting and raving, but it's like, well, that's wrong. People just aren't paying enough attention to what's going on here.
Yeah.
You got, I think, De'Aaron is 19, Domas 22, and there are no other Kings on the list.
Okay. That's blasphemous if you ask me. I mean, what Malik Monk is doing, you know, the best sixth man. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by the halftime entertainment tonight. This girl,
I know.
This woman down here.
Yes.
I mean, this is truly amazing what she is doing.
I know, and there's like three people watching and no one else is paying attention.
Right, so and we're like, yeah. I'm like, look at this. This is
no. I know.
So if you're coming to the game tonight, stay in your seats at halftime. I mean, she's just
She's not staying in her seat, and she's riding a bike.
Right, and she's riding a bike.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. All right. Malik, six
no, you're
man.
Right. Like how do you do that the right. first time?
Right.
Oh, I'm going to stand on top of the handlebars. Let's see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, this will be interesting. I'm on the call tonight. So
that one, I don't know about that one.
Look at that one.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That's impressive. All right. Sorry.
And there's like two guys over there watching and no one else is paying any
Everybody
attention.
Everybody else
to
on
her.
Their phone.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, doing like, this is tremendous. Oh, my
yeah.
God. I can't wait for this one. Uh-huh. This might be my favorite one. Sorry, Red Panda. You know, Red Panda with the bowls. And
I like the guy with the dog last night.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
That's old and tired, though. I've seen that 1,000 times.
I know. Like, you got a dog in it. You got me.
But with this tonight, this is an omen, if you will, like foreshadowing of how great of a night it's going to be. Look at this. This is unbelievable.
It really is. It really is.
Nobody else going to give her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She gave us a wave, too. That's impressive. Wow. All right. Let me ask you this, though. Because there are 30 teams in the league, okay? I'm just doing the numbers. Let's say every team has 2 people on this Ringers list. That's 60. Let's say every team has 3. That's 90. Then there's only room for 10 more. Where does Malik fit in the pecking order of our team? Third best player on our team, would you say?
Sure.
Okay. All right. And so for Malik not to even be in the top 100, hopefully you see where I'm going here. If every team had 3, it'd be 90. He'd be on that list. So some teams got 4 and 5
well,
guys
right. yeah,
and Malik didn't even make it, which is crazy to think, right?
Yeah. Like, I think Walker Kessler's on there. He's a nice player. But he's
good
not,
player. Good player.
He's not as good as Malik Monk.
Is Russell Westbrook on there?
I don't know.
All right. Now,
he might not be because he's hurt right now,
right.
but yeah.
If he was on, and this is no disrespect, but if Russell Westbrook is, how about Jordan Clarkson? Like, Malik Monk right now is, to me, easily a top 100 player.
Oh, I agree. And it's on me. Like I said, I didn't mean to drag us back into this, but it is. It's just like, well, that's not right. And it's just kind of typical of the
disrespect.
There's
some teams like Detroit. How many Detroit got? 1 maybe in Cade Cunningham?
Cade is on there. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, but outside of that, and so for Sacramento to only have 2, and they're the 2 of the top 22, and then the next 78 players, known to the Kings, and you're right. It's not right at all. It's not right.
We were just talking, as I said, with Sean Cunningham about Malik's future here, and this is where it's going to get really dicey. We all say, oh, the Kings have to do – we all know it. Kings have to do whatever they can to keep him, and they're just limited. And if it comes to that where he goes, and let's pray he doesn't. But, you know, a lot of people are going to be upset. The Kings should have kept him. Why didn't they do more to keep him? And there's only so much they can offer.
Yes.
That's the scary part.
But this is one area where that they can do something, a shorter-term deal, and then re-up him in a year or two to the full max that he can get. Because right now they don't have his bird rights. That's the problem. They don't have his bird rights. But if you sign him to a 2-year, I don't know what the number would be. $40 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
With the wink, wink, nod, nod, we'll take care of you, you know, kind of thing. Like, Malik is still young. He, you know, and I know Sean Cunningham said he's going to get the bag and he's, you know, wants to secure the bag. But, man, for Malik to get his money in Sacramento, what is it, $478 is the max they can offer?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know, extend him for a year or two and then give him the big golden parachute kind of contract. It's risky for Malik's, you know, a bird in the hand is worth more than one in the bush. Like, why would he do that? But that's the only way I think Malik, you know, the Kings will be able to compete with an Orlando or a Detroit or somebody with this San Antonio with this cap space that they can go out there and pay Malik $25 million a year.
You want to hear the bottom 10 or so on the Ringers list, top 100?
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
100, Brandon Miller. 99, Walker Kessler. 98, Isaiah Hartenstein. All these guys better
what?
Than – yeah. Chris Paul, 97. Terry Rozier. Nikola Vucevic. Norman Powell. Nick Claxton. RJ Barrett.
No way.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Who wrote that? I'm going to text Kevin O'Connor right now. He won't answer me back, but I'm going to text him anyway.
Emmanuel Quickly, Marcus Smart, Jaime Jaquez Jr.
Wow.
Yeah. Dylan, your guy Dylan Brooks, Jalen Suggs, Kyle Kuzma, Naz Reid.
No way. I'm texting Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer.
This is, I think, all of their writers combined to come up. Austin Reeves, 77.
Does it say staff?
Austin Reeves?
Whitey, does that say staff, like written by the staff, Ringer staff?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Jalen Johnson, Caruso, Kobe White, CJ McCollum, Jeremy Grant, Fred VanVleet. Yeah, it's incredible.
Malik should be in the 70s the way you –
That's what I'm saying.
I know, and I'm up 57, Cade Cunningham. Draymond Green, 54. Yeah. I mean, there's some obviously some great players, but you get to that bottom, it's like, okay, where is Malik? Where is he?
Who would you take right now? Malik Monk or a guy we're about to see tonight, Austin Reeves?
Malik.
There you go. To Jay's point, he should be in the 70s then. Like, but this is the problem with the NBA and media and all this. If Malik Monk was doing this in the Knicks jersey, Stephen A. Smith would be
absolutely
talking about
true.
Him every single day.
Uh-huh.
He'd be getting all the love. If he was in the Lakers jersey, how is Chris Paul on that list? And Chris Paul's played like 12 games all season long.
The reason he has a reputation. He plays out here too. I was going to say, you know, a lot of the Ringer writers, the game they're back east. The game Kings games are on late.
Right.
You don't have time to watch Malik Monk.
Malik is, I mean, he's borderline. I don't want to say most improved, but he's about to take that next leap. Like he's going from sixth man to valuable starter kind of skills that he's showing. Displaying.
The interesting thing about what you just said to me is that, you know, normally with a guy's most improved, it's almost a backhanded thing because, like, oh, he wasn't very good before.
Yeah.
Now, look, he's a player. Malik was already good, but you could consider him maybe a candidate for most improved because of the way he's showing he can do things no one thought he could do when it comes to running an offense.
Yeah. He used to just be thought of being a scorer, right?
Yes.
A bucket getter. Now he is legit a point guard, like the way he's playing out there. He's a facilitator, a creator. And the thing I like most about Malik, obviously, you know, he has big cojones, like he plays that way, the chip on his shoulder. But when he's out there, he makes other people better. He makes some of our bigs better. He makes Domas's life easier, Alex Len on the roll. And so I think those are things that can't even be measured in the stat sheet. Like just when you watch him, you see the offense has a different pop to it.
Mm-hmm. I asked him last night after the game if he feels like since he's played point more the last couple years here, if he's gotten better at it.
Yeah.
And he gave a very Malik answer, which we'll share with you when we come back.
Ah, okay.
Thanks for nothing, Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers last night. We deserved it tonight. It's my fault. I didn't get them prepared the way I should have mentally. At shoot-around, guys were talking about planes leaving. As a staff, we talked about it after shoot-around, that if our focus is not better than this morning, it's going to be a long day. And it was a long day, so that's on us.